The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with the assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, welcome to the Homefulness Show. I'm your host, Zola Rose, on Fresh FM, on air, online, and on podcast.
We have come more aware of how small and precious our planet is. I think we need to see ourselves as a planetary species and work together to be in balance with the rest of our planet. And that requires us at an individual and neighbourly level to be a tribe, to be part of a group of people who are kaitiakis of our piece of this beautiful planet, which we are part of as well. Eco-villages and communities are just really important hubs of people working together, working out how to work well with other people. We're the Keystones people
and
try this experience and teach others how to do it.
Kia ora and welcome to the Homefulness Show. I'm your host, Zola Rose, located in Aotearoa, New Zealand. We believe housing can be a means for regenerative placemaking to create affordable and sustainable homes and neighborhoods developed in collaboration with the communities that live there. Come join us as we bring to life the more beautiful housing that we know is possible. Before we get started with this interview, I wanted to make a few announcements. This is recorded late April in 2026. I'd like to refer you to the Common Ground website, commonground.net.nz, to find out about the opportunities and services that are available to you. We have the Women Revolutionizing Housing Network. We meet online every month, and we have a HUI mid-2027. You can register there and get Zoom links at the Women Revolutionizing Housing page on the Common Ground website. I am curating a residential property development course specifically for people who are interested in community-focused, collective, and affordable housing. So if this is something that interests you, either to learn or to offer a module within that, go to the property development page, again on the website, to register your interest. I'm offering services called Connection Labs, which are play shops. That's a playful workshop to practice communication and working together better that builds connection and harmony. You can check out what kinds of play shops I offer at the Connection Labs tab on the Common Ground website. And one thing just to note is that the sound quality of this podcast is not its usual for the first 15 minutes. I didn't realize that Otter AI had actually stolen my recording and put it into a different file, and we switched out of that after about the first 15 minutes where it goes into better sound quality. So please excuse the first 15 minutes of slightly less than ideal sound quality. Okay, now let's get on with the show. Kia ora, Robin. Welcome to the Homefulness Show, and it's so good to see you again. I've been a super fan of yours for all the things that you do around this topic of creating great communities and how you're helping others to do that. So let's just start with, what are we talking about? Earth Song Eco Neighborhood. Just give us a bit of context.
All right. Thanks, Zola. I am the founder of Earth Song Eco Neighborhood in Rānui, West Auckland. We're a co-housing community based on that model of community called co-housing, where people own their own homes, but we also own a share of a lot of common facilities and common land. We have 32 homes on 1.2 hectares, 3 acres. So we're in the city, we're in the suburbs, we're a medium density housing neighborhood, and really built on the ethics of permaculture, co-housing, eco-building, social sustainability in our ways of managing ourselves and making decisions and living well together. And also we have an educational commitment to share whatever we've learned that would be helpful to other people, because quite honestly, it's a really natural way of living, and it's one that we've kind of lost in our culture for quite some time. And I just come across so many people really hungering for that increased connection with neighbours and a sense of being part of something bigger, and a neighbourhood, and that cooperation and support and kind of rich life that comes with that. So, yeah.
Very true. And I think you're right. It is natural to our beings. And there's so many things actually in the way in many cases. Here in New Zealand, we've got a lot of housing policy, financial barriers, economic affordability barriers, land, and then the price of land. So there are definitely callings for people, but there's so many barriers. So I think it's fantastic that EarthFrong is established to show people who have this idea that it's possible and they can come and actually feel into it, see that it's possible. And I know you've inspired a lot of other communities to form. It's really great that we have you as a working, successful model. And yeah, I like that you mentioned the permaculture ethics, because I think that that's really important. Permaculture is not a gardening technique. It's actually a systems design around how humans function best with each other and with nature for thriving, not surviving. Yeah. And we actually have an economic system primarily, and then that rules other things, which really make it difficult for us to have that thriving. And so those earth care ethics, I believe you mentioned them, is the earth care, which EarthSong really demonstrates. When you're there, you can see it. And then there's the people care in your social systems to have people having agency and connection and feeling belonging and support. And then the fair share, which is, as you were saying, it's about sharing what you know and allowing others to learn from you. And you are so generous in that way. You've also been generous to come to the Women Revolutionizing Housing, where women who aspire to do this, wherever they are, can be able to have you as their role model and feel your support as they navigate how could they do it as well. Very grateful for your continued support of my work as I follow your work. So what is homefulness to you? What does it look and feel like? And I'm sure you're going to be describing EarthSong.
Yes, because I've had the kind of opportunity and the privilege, I guess, of being part of creating the kind of home that I want and aspire to. And so it does really quite reflect what homefulness means to me. And it really means being able to be myself and my own individual self and have my own life and my own home and interests and friends and all of that. So not giving up any of that individual choices in life. But there's a kind of an and, there's an added layer of home, which is our shared home. And that sense of belonging to a group of people bigger than our own individual household, being known, knowing, being part of an intergenerational community. So newborn babies, children, young adults, older adults, seniors, that whole range of people is just, it's so natural. It's what our species, I think, has had through almost all of our existence, but we've lost it in the last 100, 200 years. And there's just so much synergy that can happen between people when you are part of a steady group of people that you get to know over time and you have a shared endeavor, a shared home together. So some of the older people and the little kids, they just have the most beautiful relationships. And it's really helpful for all, for the little ones and the elder ones and for the parents in the middle. So that homefulness, yeah, it's feeling, it's belonging, that sense of belonging, of being known, of support when you need it, but also accountability. There's people that may think differently, so you can't assume that my own wishes is going to be welcomed by everybody. We have to go through that process of talking about it and teasing through what people actually want individually that we can agree on as to what we want to put into place. So, yeah, it's quite a rich and sometimes challenging home. And that to me is what life is, really. It's about comfort as well, but it's also about an aliveness and a sense of growing and relationship. Yeah. Being the best we can be.
Yeah. And I heard around synergy that together we can do more. And I think that comes when people, as you say, know each other. There's a foundational relationship there. So you can really thrive with more, creating more. And I sense that if one was to sit in a bench at Earthfront, there'd be quite a lot of entertainment of watching different people interacting and finding joy in watching people do the things that they love, whether it's the gardening or the kids playing or people having connection like that. And also self-growth, because I think quite often a phrase that's used in these intentionally built communities is like-minded people. So when we go into a place where we're like-minded, we all think alike, and it's quite easy to get quite quickly disappointed to find out, actually, I thought we were like-minded, meaning we thought the same on everything, only to find that, oh, you think differently about that? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, and you know what? I think that's part of social permaculture, like a thriving natural ecosystem. They're not all like-minded. There's a whole range of different species with different needs, different kind of niches, and they're not always friendly to each other. They're just part of a whole system. And I think that's what you need to accept, I guess, when living in community, that one of the strengths is diversity. And it might not always be comfortable, and we might differ on some even quite fundamental things at times. And we're part of this planet with all of the other beings, all of the other humans. And it's about finding our place in that ecosystem and not expecting that everything's going to go my way. Or it's not all about me. It's actually us collectively with all our differences.
Yes.
Sometimes that's a happy place and sometimes it's challenging. And that for me is about living a very engaged and rich life.
And I think it's around this, having to stick with the discomfort of working something through. Because in a conventional neighborhood, you can write off neighbor down the road or something as being too this or too that and say, I'm just going to ignore them from now on. Even though the things that you're being triggered on actually is really your own stuff to be worked on. So it's easy to actually not work on oneself or on a relationship. Or even work to find, oh, well, there actually is something to be gained through understanding each other differently. Yeah. And I think goes to the topic that we were, our topic, well, for April is neighborliness, designing connection with neighbors, which in co-housing, it is right through.
Yeah.
And also there's that resiliency. And so I sense that there's a personal resiliency and then a community or a neighbor resiliency and then even a wider resiliency. I'm wondering if you wanted to speak to those levels of resiliency.
Yes, well, it's a very topical topic, one that we're facing as a species on Earth. And it's one that we've explored a lot over the last 3 years at Earthsong. Because we've been part of a research project, really, for the Global Ecovillage Network with 19 other ecovillages around the world. And we've really been engaged in exploring together what resilience means, what are the things we have to be resilient to, all of the sort of crises, I guess, that we're increasingly aware of. And having a look at our own communities and seeing, okay, where are we resilient and where are we really not, and what do we need to do about that? And for Earthsong, it was a very fascinating process to be part of that. And I guess one of the main overall things that we felt coming out of that process was, because we're an urban neighborhood, we're in the suburbs, we have quite a small land area for the number of houses. We can't possibly grow all the food that we need on. So, you know, there's lots of ways that we can't be self-sufficient. And we never intended to be, actually. We knew that we wouldn't be by choosing to live in the city, but we would have much easier access to a lot of those things by working with other people. But being part of that process really brought home to us that we can work on various things within Earthsong to be more resilient, like replacing our solar water panels and looking at our electricity system and getting more on-site water, etc. But really, our overall resilience is incredibly dependent on our wider neighborhood because we can't be a little island, a little bubble. And I think that's true also of a lot of people within permaculture really go have lifestyle blocks and go out and do wonderful things on their own farm in terms of growing food and restoring ecosystems. I think none of us can be resilient on our own. And true resilience really depends on us making contact with and building relationships with our wider neighbours, working in together, seeing ourselves as all part of the one system, actually. So that's where we're pivoting to put some efforts into, is reaching out to our wider neighbourhood and starting to create opportunities to think together about our wider land area, what resources are we rich in, what's missing, what do we do when the global supply chains go down.
Yes, and what does that look like practically when you say going a bit further than the neighbourhood into your wider community? What practical ways are you doing that?
Well, we're just at the beginning of thinking about this. We've actually made a short film because we had some funds left over from being part of that Gen project. So we made a film about Earth Song and the benefits really of being part of a neighbourhood and how that supports us individually and collectively. And we want to take that around and offer that movie showing in combination with a workshop around resilience, just asking the question of, or giving information perhaps about what we are facing, that it's easy to kind of think, oh yes, but that's not for a while yet. Just having those conversations about what we might need to do now in order to be more resilient in the future, increasing climate shocks and things like that. So that's our focus at the moment, is doing that. And yeah, I guess I can say here, if anyone is interested in that and would like to set up a movie showing and a workshop, please get in touch, because we're very interested in taking this around and having those conversations to start with, because we don't have all the answers. We don't say that we do, but we do have quite a lot of experience that is built up over 25 years of living together. And we feel like we can offer quite a lot of facilitation in thinking together about our shared home. We're a co-housing community, so we have shared home places, our common house and our lands. So we've got a lot of experience in, as well as looking after ourselves individually, looking after our wider home. And I think that's a real strength and attitude shift that we can offer more widely. The other main thing that came out of that work was one of the things that we have learned that is most unusual in the wider world is around self-governance, self-managing. One of the things we realized that we had to offer was years and years of practice in working together with a bunch of diverse people to solve problems and to come to decisions that aren't necessarily everyone's first choice, but they're finding the places where we can move forward together. And I think that's a really unusual skill these days in our society, because during the last 100 or more years, we've gone in the other direction of being made to see us out as individuals, as single households, without that sense of cooperation. And that's reflected in the way suburbs and houses and streets are designed, public places, all those sorts of things. We've kind of gone against that grain and got a lot of experience in it. And I think that's really important skill for us moving forward, us collectively, to feel that we do have a sense of agency. We have the ability to make decisions, to decide to do things that this way rather than that way. And we also have some systems which are really helpful. So yeah, as well as the physical demonstration of eco-building and on-site stormwater and all those kinds of things, I think it is our people management systems which are some of the most important aspects that we can offer to society to help us reform and flourish into the future. It is in a crisis that people come together. With the floods, with weather events, people automatically help each other out. It's a real example of people's inner wish is to work together and help each other out in those crises. And it works really well at a crisis, but then people don't have the skills to keep operating in that way when there isn't a crisis, which I think we need to do.
And you mentioned around making this available. So is this, you've got your film, and is there like a toolkit or a training workshop? And how far are you willing to go to offer this to other groups or communities?
So we're just at the early stages, but we have run a couple of short pilots around the kind of workshop that we could offer. And there's definitely energy within our educational trust at Earthsong to offer workshops. And I would think that if people invited us from anywhere around New Zealand, we would try to make that happen.
Are you a team, or who's running these workshops?
At the moment, there's, I would say, three or four people who have been part of the Gen Resilience work that now want to take this further. And we're all part of our educational trust.
Oh, that's great to know that you've got a trust set up to be able to offer these things and perhaps cover travel costs or venue costs.
Not sure about that. We're almost down to zero in our bank account. So, yeah, it would have to be self-funding.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely have that impetus now as our kind of moving into the future.
And groups, if council wanted to sponsor, for instance, they see the benefit of neighbors being able to be more resilient, particularly with Wellington just having all these floods and so many other communities have had very similar events. Hopefully the councils get an idea that actually just solving the more engineering side of things is not just the only way that they can serve the communities. And in the aftermath as well, that there's actually a lot of things they can do in sort of the prevention proactive space, which it sounds like that's where you're working. And there's so much that comes out of it. It's not just about being able to withstand a horrible event, bringing us to that place of where we're thriving on a regular basis, no matter what challenge there is. It's just a mindset, I think, of being able to think about each other as a support system in general, rather than just people that we live near or that live around us.
And I think we have come more and more aware of how small and precious our planet is. We are so interconnected now on media and TV that we know what's happening in all sorts of different parts of the world. And I think we need to see ourselves as a planetary species and work together to be in balance with the rest of our planet. And that requires us at an individual and neighborly level to be a tribe, to be part of a group of people who are kaitiakis of our piece of this beautiful planet, which we are part of as well. Eco-villages and communities are just really important hubs of people working together, working out how to work well with other people. We're the keystones people who try this experience and teach others how to do it.
I think there is quite a lot of experimentation, but for a purpose. And as you were saying, that people in intentional communities, eco-village and co-housing being a part of that, the intentionality is really around that self-growth, but it's also saying, how can we experience how we used to be as more communal or more nature-based or even more equitable societies and go back to trying some things? Or it's, oh, well, what new things can we try? I love that sense of the curiosity and experimentation that comes along with that intentionality. The nice thing about like the Global Eco Village Network is that they've got the 32 areas where there can be more regeneration. And so it could be month by month or year by year, a community says, well, let's take this and really look at how does this play itself out in the community where we can do this particular aspect better. And I know those resilience cards are quite similar also by the Global Eco Village Network, where they allow us to take a principle or it's a goal and say, yeah, let's look at all the things that make up our community and where this could be done more. So do you use those cards when you have your movie and your community workshops?
It's a good question. I think we will look at them and see if they are going to be helpful with how we do that. I think they could take a number of different forms, and We're actually launching our movie in 2 weeks' time. So this is a little bit ahead of where we're at. But we will be in a position to do this in the coming months.
Oh, fantastic. And when you say launching your movie, is it going to be on public networks? Where do people get a chance to see it?
So we thought we would try this sort of movie and workshop combo for the first while. And then maybe after a year or two, we'll put it up for public viewing. But for the meantime, we would like to and see how we can use that most usefully.
So you're using it as a platform then to further people's inquiries and discussions. So it's part of the workshop rather than just being an interesting movie to come across.
It's called Neighborliness for Resilience.
And it's really nice that it does invite people in to participate in the concepts and in the goals that are in that. So I'm looking forward somehow to be able to also watch it participate. And so in terms of your work with teaching and training around this creating of co-housing, so resilience, I hear, is this kind of next big project. But I do believe that you also help people who have an idea that they'd want to develop co-housing because you've done it and you're still doing it. So what are the other services that you have to help people along this path towards co-housing?
For a long time now, probably over 10 years, 10, 12 years, I've been running seminars, a series of 4 2-hour seminars, which cover various aspects of it, from our collective decision-making and governance to eco-design principles and project planning, putting the whole thing together. And I've run that a lot over those 12 years. I haven't actually run it for the last year or two, except in Japanese. So I've run a couple of series translated into Japanese by my neighbor, who is a Japanese interpreter. And that has really helped to bring people in Japan together who are already interested and doing wonderful aspects of collective housing projects, but they've gathered around these seminars. In fact, one of the things that to come out of that is that my book's being translated into Japanese at the moment, which is pretty stunning. and I'll be going over there in September to kind of be part of the Japanese launch and do a few talks, etc. So that's where my seminar energy has been going for the last couple of years. I can certainly come back and do English language seminars if there's demand. So again, I guess if people would like to do that, they can get in touch and I can put a series together. Apart from that, we have a lot of tours where Earthsong is open for tours by request. Just 2 days ago, we had 52 planning students from the University of Auckland come on a tour. We've got 26 planning students tomorrow coming through. So we have an education collective who run tours for people. Sometimes it's just a couple of overseas visitors who want to have a look, or a much smaller group of local community group, etc. But yeah, that's something that we offer. We also do public tours 4 times a year, just regular tours that are scheduled. And yeah, we have big ideas about doing more, but it's a case of energy. And
I'm really glad to hear that students are learning and that it's being incorporated into their studies. I have really wanted that all the built environment professionals, whether that be engineering, planning, policy, builders and developers, et cetera, my dream is that they would all really catch the co-housing bug and also permaculture, because I think there's, as in the case of Earthsong, where you're able to demonstrate those permaculture principles and ethics, is that we really could, if each one of them bought into those principles and ethics, wow, how all of these professions would be operating differently. And they would not settle for a conventional neighborhood. They'd say, but this doesn't make sense. This is actually going to create problems if we do it this way. If we pave over so much, and if everyone's driving up to their garage, nobody will get a chance to meet each other. And if there's so much paving, we're going to have stormwater issues. I think that everybody would see the ridiculousness of the current methods of doing urban design or development for housing, and they would just not be able to do the conventional anymore. You know, that's good that you have that influence, that you're near the Auckland University and AUT to be able to show them seeing is believing. And I know that was that way for me. The first time I saw an eco-village was in America. And then that was just in me. I have to live in this way. No, of course, we have to make exceptions if one's in a place where it's quite possible yet. But this is the way that it's my body, my soul is going to actually function at its highest level.
I think once people see it, and so many people that come on the tours, they're just elated. It's like, oh, yes, this is so sensible. This is so beautiful. I really love to live like this. I think it would be great if more of the whole range of professionals actually realized that this was an option. However, I guess most of them are locked into a huge system and have to react to what other people want rather than creating themselves. That was my motivation really for building Earthsong, because I was an architect at the time and I was enjoying my work designing eco houses for individual families, but it wasn't enough. And I thought, okay, I have to take this on. We'll see whether we can do it and what it might look like and how hard it is and how to do it.
And so, in your book, people can learn all about that story.
Right.
They can go from Robin as somebody who's got a big idea to actually walking with you along that journey and all the lessons that you learned along the way. So thank you for writing that book, Co-Housing for Life. And I think that's available on your website.
It is, yeah.
Is that robinallison.com maybe, or what's your website?
Co.nz. I'll give you the link.
Yeah. Okay. And the other thing I just wanted to say or ask was, I think a lot of people do have that fear, that social dimension of living in a more connected community is something that they've either experienced that previously in a former community or in a workplace, and they're just really afraid. And they feel like they need some more skills to be able to step into such a thing. And I would always recommend anybody who wants to live in an intentional community of any sort to be able to take these classes or do these practice sessions to read and learn as much as they can around the social dynamics, both personal and interpersonal. So what would be the ones you would recommend to people to delve into?
Yeah, definitely permaculture is a really good training for the kind of whole system design. I would say some sort of facilitation or group skills training would be very helpful, even if you don't intend to be a facilitator in the group. Just understanding what happens in groups, I think, can be very helpful, because otherwise, it might be a struggle. I agree that it does require a certain amount of robustness in our individual lives. There's a kind of joke around that co-housing is the most expensive personal growth course you'll ever do. And I like that, because it's kind of funny and why would you do it? But actually, of course, you do it because it's life. It's really engaging fully with life and not being afraid of conflict. You might not like it, but conflict happens between any two people, even your partner. There's conflict at times. And so walking away doesn't solve it at all. Mm. I think when you live in community with people, the incentive is there to work it through rather than walk away, because you live there and you're going to pass these people on the path every couple of days for a long time. So there is an incentive to put a bit of energy and effort into understanding that other person and having space to say where you're each coming from and just getting a better understanding of each other, really.
And I think one's own relationship with conflict, some people are avoidant. I was talking with somebody the other day who said, she didn't come around to see me when she said she would. So then I gave her the cold shoulder for 2 days, sort of like, I'll teach her. And I said, well, how did that turn out? Well, now she won't even look at me. Now things are really bad. And I said, well, probably that habit of when somebody slights you, that you giving them the cold shoulder is probably one that needs to shift, because giving somebody the cold shoulder, it actually creates more division. So I think to look at one's patterns. What do I tend to do in these conflict situations? And how can I shift that to be more engaging with it rather than a punitive way of acting?
And there's nothing like checking it out. Like, you might think, oh, that person's ignoring me. What have I done? But if you check it out, it might be nothing to do with me. They're having a bad day or whatever. So one of the things that I think we do really well at Earthsong is every single meeting, and we have a lot of meetings, we always start them with a check-in. So there's just a space for us each to bring ourselves and say what's going on enough so that we can be present in the meeting. And it's quite simple, but it's so valuable in terms of relationships, because you start understanding each other better. And when you understand someone, you give them a bit more leeway. So there's lots of ways, I think, that we can feel more in connection and not get into that assumption that somebody's ghosting me and therefore I'll ghost them.
Retaliate or something. Yeah. I think for me, the nonviolent communication, NVC framework and practice has really been helpful for me over the years. And although we meet fortnightly, it's still something that I am challenged to work through a particular life circumstance, and it's slowing it down, being in that community of practice and being able to take the time to take something that is sitting with me or that didn't work out well in terms of an interaction and really play that back. And how could that be done differently? And having that support system to do that. And that's lifelong, really. I imagine that I will be continuing, and I'm committed to that because I know I'm still not doing these things that create the best connection or leave people feeling wonderful after I've interacted with them. So yes, I think if one's going to go into community, that NVC, at least taking a foundational course, but definitely if one can practice regularly with others, is a benefit.
Yeah.
And I know that meetings are the thing. You said you have a lot of meetings, and that's scary to people as well. Oh my gosh, I have to sit and listen to that person ramble on again about the same thing. And those are not well facilitated or held or structured meetings. But you've got a great meeting method at Earthsong that now you're sharing. I've seen other people hold up the colored card that you have developed, both for the talking part of it, having conversations and sharing, and then that decision-making part of it, which is a different, same colors, but they have different meanings. And I think if people know that, okay, we're going to go into this meeting, I've got this set of cards which help me to express myself, but also be able to interject into this conversation something that is a concern with a card rather than having to shout it out, that would bring a lot of feeling of safety and feeling of perhaps ease and efficiency, which I care about as well.
Meeting culture is incredibly important. And when you've got 50 adults sharing a piece of land and common buildings and facilities, you have to talk about things, because if you don't, it just, I don't know, it fragments and people start doing things that you didn't know were going to happen and you don't really want to happen anyway. And it's very disenfranchising. So yeah, I think it is important to spend the time talking together and to value that time. Not everybody goes to all of the meetings, but I'm quite involved in a number of different groups, and they're important and they're usually quite enjoyable. I often come out of a meeting feeling more energized than I went in, because of the relationships, because of the sharing of knowledge, because of the valuing that I feel of other people who I might not have a lot in common with, but I understand enough about where they're coming from that I can feel real kind of affection for people. And that's rewarding. And we achieve stuff as well. So if you're a total hermit and you really don't like talking to people and you can't be bothered with anyone else's opinion in your decisions, then don't live in co-housing. That's pretty simple, really. But I think that if you're willing to give it the time and to value that, then the benefits are also really huge. So I feel it's really worth it, spending that time with bunches of people, chewing things through, getting different perspectives, thinking, oh, okay, I didn't know that, or I hadn't thought of that either. Yeah, it's very rewarding.
And I think, as you were saying, in a community of your size, there's 32 homes, and you were saying a bunch of different groups or circles. So I think that's good for people to know, is that you're not all coming together to discuss all the different aspects. In a really well-structured community organizational management format, I know sociocracy is one of the ways that there can be like this non-hierarchical efficiency with communication and decision-making, and so that you just choose what interests you. So even if someone was more hermit-like, but they really loved gardening or trees or something like that, they could just say, well, really all the other meetings I can't do, but I can do this one and have my voice in this one. And that's important to note, that you can be involved in as many or as few as one likes, or come and go depending on the year or the project. Or,
but it does need enough people putting in the energy to keep the common areas going.
Then I think when somebody lives somewhere and they realize that the decisions that a group is making affects them, and they think, I didn't quite care for that decision, or that, well, you can go and sit on that group then and be a part of that decision making and make a proposal. So yes, people have that sense of agency, which is great, because in a regular neighborhood, if somebody's clanging their recycled bottles at 4 a.m., it's kind of hard to have a discussion with that person about, and at least in your structure, those things have a way, a time and a place for being able to discuss. So you don't have to not have it or wait until at your wit's end. So I really like that. Yes, that can, we can have a say in how and where we're living. I would like to ask you an obscure fact about yourself that most people don't know.
Okay. You know what? I'm a really ace knitter. I knit really extravagant jerseys and coats and things. I love wool. I just love the depth of color and sheen and the feel of the wool. And it's a very sensuous craft that I enjoy doing through winter.
You get to wear what you make. Yeah. Is there any other messaging that you want to put out there that either folks who are interested, or even this upper layer of systems professionals, that you would like them to know?
When I think about what would be my ideal city, and I do think cities are important, and I've thought about, so how can we have a more sustainable city? I really think one of the pieces of that would be having lots of little clumps of co-housing neighborhoods in the suburbs. So really trying to connect up people on a neighborhood level who would have some sense of agency, some sense of shared resources, shared spaces. And it doesn't mean that the other layers of the city aren't relevant, that they are, but it would just help to have a more engaged population and a more flourishing way of living. And David Holmgren's written a book about that as well.
Retro suburbia, it's like where we already have a built environment, how can we adapt it to be more ecologically and socially resilient?
And it's much more than just an individual household and their garden, you know, coming up to be more sustainable. I think there's a lot about the relationship of that household with this household, with the rest of the street, etc. Really getting back to that sense of pleasure in each other's company, that sense that we can fulfill a lot more of our needs together in our local area rather than having to leave in a car and buy stuff. There's lots of things that we can do on a much more local level that I think are better for us socially and better for us environmentally as well. So that's the way that I would see our cities evolving into a more sustainable way. And I think for all those professional people, really important to have in there in helping to recreate that system. A lot of people are in jobs where they can't actually create this, but they could certainly be aware of it and not be impediments to people who do want to do that more in so many ways.
There is... can be this NIMBYism, not in my backyard, where people do oppose things that are happening, where there might have been one house and it's possible to build a few homes that are like a little pocket neighborhood, and there could be opposition to what otherwise would be a great place to live for three families to share, or to bring down fences between so the kids can move around easier. There are policies in planning that could be more enabling of these kinds of projects and processes, as well as the affordability piece. I think there's ways of freeing up land as well to be able to have these kinds of communities be created where they're values driven rather than just housing for the sake of having some houses. I think, yes, we can have some financial and some policy enabling that assists with these more intentional eco neighborhoods to be able to develop and be connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be for another topic, all the policy related things. So we can make it more widespread, as you were saying. Well, that's all I have. And any last words for you?
I just really appreciate the chance to talk, Zola. And I think you're doing wonderful work in bringing people together, in putting out this information of all kinds, and really putting your efforts into creating more collective living opportunities. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, it helps to have you that I could say, look what they've done. That's really a lot of my work, is around the network weaving, or around highlighting and spotlighting what already is going well, and to make those connections for people and to give them a sense of agency and power that I'm an optimist. And so I do believe that if you dream it, it can happen. And if you dream it, I guess first it's the right people getting attracted as well. So I think it's that getting people excited enough, then they attract other people to this vision. And then together they work and see that, yes, it is possible. So thank you so much, Robin. It's been a real pleasure.
I'm Zola Rose, and that's this week's show. Thanks for listening to Homefulness on Fresh FM Radio on 107.2 Nelson, 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 95 Takaka, and 88.9 Blenheim.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.co.nz, for our contact details.